As I listened to Mr. Bush's speech, my mind went back to another time of near war, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when I was a young Army private at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. As Soviet ships steamed toward the U.S. naval blockade, I was dispatched to South Carolina to join a highly trained armored division placed on highest alert. These troops would have been in the first wave of an American invasion force if President Kennedy had given the order to go. When we were issued live ammunition, for the first time in my 20 short years, I considered the possibility of my own death. Other troops in the barracks had the same thoughts, but they tried hard not to show it, except that the normal horseplay was missing. The men lay in their cots, writing letters to everyone on their lists, and checking and rechecking their equipment. In contrast to what now seems like an imminent invasion of Iraq, it was clear, then, why we might have to go into Cuba, and why we might not return. Back then, the nation was consigned to fight, if necessary, even though war with the Soviets would have killed millions of Americans in a nuclear Armageddon. World opinion was with us on Cuba in a way that it is not now, for at least two reasons. First, President Kennedy was not belligerent or bellicose. Secondly, he insisted on showing America and the world conclusive U.S. intelligence about the Cuban threat. In his State of the Union speech Tuesday night, Mr. Bush charged that we had intelligence showing a connection between Iraq and international terrorism, but he did not reveal it. Maybe Secretary of State Colin Powell will share that evidence next week at the United Nations. But if the administration has such intelligence, why has it held it from UN weapons inspectors, who could verify it on the ground and give America the undisputed moral high ground? There's another problem Mr. Bush and his people have not addressed. Winning this war may be the easiest thing to do. A defeated Iraq will require a U.S. presence for years into the future. But at what additional cost in American lives as local warlords jockey for power? At what additional cost to the American budget deficit, which Mr. Bush has blown through the roof and with which he has mortgaged America's economic prosperity? If we go it alone in Iraq, make no mistake, we alone will pay for its reconstruction. Allies who had no part of this war certainly will not step in to clean up our mess. So then, the question becomes, how will America pay for its own economic reconstruction? This is Les O'Coin.